Children's Church. If you take your Bible this morning, we're in the book of Romans this morning. And it's always exciting to enter into a new year and to see what God has in store and the future. I think the future looks bright, and I think we look into a new year with anticipation of God's blessings and God's hand upon all that we do. And I want to preach a message this morning, some good reasons why it's important that you and I be saved and serve the Lord. And you know, you always think about when you get saved and you come to know the Lord, what are the benefits of that? What is the privileges of that? What is the joy? Well, number one, we know that with salvation, we have eternal life, and it gives us the promise and the hope of going to heaven. But Romans chapter, in your Bible there, Romans chapter 8, if you will, gives us in the Scripture, I think, some good reasons why, when we look in the Bible, that Paul outlines reasons why we should be a Christian. And I would pray today that each and every one of you here, those listening by way of live stream, are a Christian. You do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you do not, I pray that you'd be open-minded to that. You'd open your heart and your mind to becoming a Christian. But I see here in Romans chapter 8 a lot of benefits that Paul gives us in the Bible of why it's good to be a Christian. You know, I had a person say to me one time, they said, "Well, what if I'm right and you're wrong?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, what if there is no God? What if there is no Bible? You live this Christian life and you go to church all the time." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Even if heaven was not real and the Bible was not real and salvation was not real, I still think living a good Christian life is a good life to live." Now, you may not agree with that, but I'll tell you, but I do know this, and I told him this. I said, heaven is real, the Bible is real, salvation is real, eternal life is real. So if you're right and I'm wrong, I haven't missed anything. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you've missed heaven, and you've missed the promise of eternal life, my friend. You willing to lay all that on the line for that? And so it really gets people to think, when you think about that, the benefits of salvation. And so when we look here in Romans 8, to see these here should cause us a desire to ask God for his blessings. That's one of the things we want in the year of 2022, is for God's blessings to be upon us. And so we're reminded here these reasons should prompt us in serving the Lord and being faithful to him. Now we're early in January. So I don't know about you, but if I were you, I'd make a commitment right now, today, January the 9th, 2022, that you're starting the year out good, serving the Lord, being faithful to him, going to worship, reading your Bible, praying, whatever, and serving him, and just be faithful to the end of the year. Don't give up in the middle of the year. No matter what the obstacle is, don't quit. No matter what the struggle is, don't throw in the towel. No matter how easy it is or tempted it is along the way, to get distracted or to get pulled, sin can be very enticing and can pull you away. Just be determined that no matter what happens in 2022, you'll be just as faithful at the end of the year as you are now. You'll be committed to Christ just as much at the end of the year as you are now. And so there's some reasons, these reasons here in Romans 8 should move us as God's people to an attitude of being grateful and for the blessings of being a Christian. So let's look at some of this here in Romans chapter 8. And I think Romans 8 is one of the great chapters of all the Bible, and for several reasons. Good Bible doctrine, for one. But let's begin reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In verse 5, "For then they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." What a great verse If you want to take a verse and apply it this year in 2022, there would be a good verse to pull out of the scripture and say, you know what, I'm going to claim that verse. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Don't let the flesh lead you and guide you and direct you throughout 2022. Let the Holy Spirit do that. But they that are after the Spirit, after the Holy Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. And then in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then skip down to verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So I want to give you this morning real simple, four simple thoughts that has to do with some good reasons why that if you're saved, why you got saved. Some good reasons of why if you're not saved that you should get saved. And reason number one is found in verse 1 right here, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And here it is that the Christian, you and I, have escaped condemnation. Paul said it this way, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemn to them which are in Christ Jesus. So because of the sin nature, because of the sin that is upon our life and the sin nature that we have inherited, you and I have been condemned. We have been sentenced to eternal damnation in hell forever and ever, condemned. But when you get saved, one of the greatest benefits, I think, of being saved is the fact that now there's no more condemnation. You're no longer condemned. And it says here that therefore now there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So when you and I are saved and are in Christ, we are no longer condemned to eternity. You know, in Sunday school, we were just talking about a little bit ago, we've been studying some of the dispensations, and we got into a little bit of the theophanies this morning, and a good question come up, and that simply was, when does time end? You know, we think of time and everything related around time, and when does time end and eternity begin? And it's really interesting because, you know, when you think about it, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon, the earth revolves around the moon, and we think about that time will cease to be when there no longer is a sun, the moon, the stars, and all that's there. And notice every day, no matter what you and I got going on, the sun's going to come up every day. The sun's going to go down every day. God set all those in place in the book of Proverbs and Psalms that talks about that. But time will cease to be one of these days, and eternity will begin. And eternity begins, it talks about in Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. So one of the benefits and one of the reasons why we get saved, why we come to Christ, why we serve the Lord, why you're a Christian, is because now, under Christ, you're no longer in condemnation. You're no longer being condemned. You know, years ago, I worked in business, and we had a corporate attorney. And that corporate attorney decided to run for circuit court judge. And he got elected as a circuit court judge. Don Teeple was his name. And so I had him as a corporate lawyer. And I used to go talk to him every once in a while because now his role had changed. No longer is he advising as a lawyer, but now he's sitting on a federal bench and listening to all kinds of felonies and very hard murder cases, all kinds of difficult cases. I said, Don, I would not want your job for anything. I said, he said, it really comes down, it's pretty simple. You got to listen, you got to get all the facts out, you got to let the prosecution present their case and the defense, and then you got to apply the law, and you got to make a determination whether that person is condemned or not. And then they pay the price for whatever that felony, whatever that charge was. So you and I, the benefit of being saved is God sent His Son to save a condemned world. Let me show you this. Go over to John chapter 3. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We just came through Christmas with a great emphasis on Jesus and the virgin birth and the incarnation of Christ. In John chapter 3, notice in verse 14, that we realize here in the Bible that God sent His Son to save a world that was condemned. So, you know, and I've been in Don Teeple's courtroom, and when he was handling some of those felony cases and listen to him pass sentence upon a man or a woman or whatever that was going to have to spend a lot of time in a federal prison for whatever crime that they had done. You got to keep in mind here that you and I have been condemned for our sin, but God sent his son that you and I, that we could have that condemnation removed. In John chapter 3, look at it in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to, here it is now, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You want to do? You want to be interested in what God is interested in? Then we need to be interested in the salvation of lost souls and more people coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be to come to the place where they realize they're no longer condemned for their sin, and that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt. So one of the benefits here, a good reason for being saved, is to escape this condemnation. And so, men out of Christ, we realize here, go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Men out of Christ have the sentence already declared upon them. Think about this, that every person that is lost, every person that you know that is not yet saved. And why is this so important? Why is Faith Bible Institute so important? Why is any Bible study or any group you're going to so important? You're trying to learn the Bible, the Word of God, to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, so you can take the good news of the gospel to your friends, neighbors, relatives, business associates, whoever, that can hear the gospel and be saved. Paul noticed here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and notice what he says when you get down here to verse 7, 8, and 9. He said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In a flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Think about that. Not everybody's gonna be saved. Not everybody's gonna come to Christ. He says here that eventually, coming in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That means those that are not saved, those that are not born again, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This is very serious stuff. And to realize that if you don't get the gospel to the unbelieving world or to those that are not yet saved, they need to hear the gospel. Why? So they can be saved. So they can get rid of this condemnation that they've been under that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. So when you realize here the truth, and men who have left the truth that have that sentence declared upon them. So I think point number one that we see in Romans chapter 8 is a good reason why we're saved, and a benefit of being saved is you're no longer condemned. You're no longer under the sentence of that condemnation. That condemnation has been removed. Why? It's because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary, and he took that condemnation. He paid for that sin so that you and I would not have to pay for that sin. So our condemnation, the Christian, has escaped condemnation. Then look in verse 2, Romans chapter 8, and verse 2 and verse 3. And here is so important when you look at it here in Scripture, that I think the second good reason for being saved is that you and I have been freed from the law of sin. From the law of sin, he said in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," in Romans 8:2, "hath made me free," here it is now, "free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And the point is simply, the law of sin is the rule of sin in one's life. You know, I would say, with this size of a crowd this morning, if you're not careful, somebody sitting here this morning, this year, will trip and fall, and fall into sin, and allow sin to get the better of them, or follow the flesh, or follow the devil, or whatever, and will get off track, and you'll lose your momentum, and you'll realize there that the Christian, when you get saved, you and I don't need to live in sin. You've been freed from that. And so sin reigns in the life of a sinner. Look in Romans chapter 6, back a couple chapters there, and verse 12. Notice what he said. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. How does sin? You know, sin is just simply in the Bible defined as the transgression of the law of God. Whatever God says we should do, if we don't do it, it's sin. If God says to avoid this and we don't avoid this, whatever that is, then it becomes sin. So sin is just simply a violation of God's law, a violation of whatever he says, do this or don't do this, and when we violate that, we then sin against him. So sin here in Romans chapter 6, he said this, that after you and I are saved, let not sin, therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It always starts out with lust. You ever notice that? It starts out with lust. It'll start out with a seed plot, and sin, all sin really starts from three simple facts. Number one, the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. If you look at it and you go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, it was through that, through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All sin, I don't care what the sin is, take any sin you want mentioned in the Bible, and you can trace it back to its origins being the lust of the flesh, not being able to control the flesh, the lust of the eye, be careful, little eyes, you know what you see and where you go, because it all starts with lust, and lust acted upon, lust is not yet sin until you act upon that lust. When you are lust, if you have been presented with something that is lustful to the flesh or lustful to the eye, when you then take it to the next step and you act upon that, now it becomes sin. We find here that what you look at it here, that sin can dominate the sinner if you're not careful. Look at it, Romans 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members to, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Boy, you ought to underline that, circle it in red, put an asterisk beside it, whatever. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So don't yield to sin. Don't yield to the lust. If you're presented with some of the lust of the flesh, don't yield. If you're presented with the lust of the eye, don't yield. Be careful what you look at. If you're presented with something, the pride of life, don't, when you yield, you and I are to yield ourselves unto God. And so sin can, look at it in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So you and I do not have to give into that. You don't, when you are saved and you're freed from that condemnation, you no longer have to be dominated by sin. Whatever sin it is, and it could be, whatever can trip you up could probably be different, and it'll trip up a person over here, a person over here. We're all different. And Satan knows where our weaknesses are at. And that's usually where he'll come after us at, and whatever that is. Could be whatever will trip you up may never trip another person up. But you got to be careful. We find here that sin can dominate, but you and I are to yield. And so the one who habitually sin, let me show you this. Go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You know, it's interesting when you look at John chapter 8. Don't become a bondservant to sin. John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Those are the words of Christ. So the one who habitually sins is the bondservant of sin. And so we find that really when it comes, when we ask forgiveness of our sin, there's really, the Bible teaches the importance of repentance. And when you and I repent of our sin, or if we've done something wrong that we know is wrong, and we repent of it, then we should turn from that and go in a different direction. Protect yourself. And as, yeah, we can ask for God's forgiveness and to realize here repentance should be a change of heart. Repentance should bring about a change in our life. Sin does not have to dominate the Christian. You got to keep in mind that sin is very attractive. Sin can be very attractive, very enticing, very welcoming. Satan comes along and makes sin very attractive in a lot of different ways. And it can just pull people in at the weakest moment. So sin, though, does not have to dominate the Christian life. And we do not, and realizing this in 1 John chapter 1, does not have to claim sinless perfection. Are we ever going to get to the point where we're perfect? Not in this lifetime. But in heaven, we will be perfect before Him. Yes, we are sinners, but covered by the blood of Christ. You know, when the death angel went through the land of Israel on the death of the firstborn, they were instructed to take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle that over the doorpost and a little over the... So when the death angel come through the land, all they would see is the blood. If you had the blood covering your sin, then the death angel moved on. But if they did not have on the death of the firstborn the blood of the lamb covering them, then all the firstborn in Israel and in the land at that time died. You imagine that'd be horrible. So when God looks at you and I, He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not perfect by no means, and we still are enticed by sin. We can still present it with lust of sin, but then we don't have to give in to that because we've been set free. We're no longer living under that condemnation. We have been freed, point number two, from the law of sin, verse 2 and verse 3 here. And so you need to understand in the Bible here, we need to refuse to allow sin to control our life. Whatever that is, you're going to have to look and do an inventory yourself of your own life. Try to identify, God, what sin is there in my life that I'm allowing in that is hurting me personally, my testimony, my walk with You? What is that? Reveal that unto me and then turn from that. God has forgiven you of your sin and you can be free from the law of sin. That's point number two. Let me show you this. Go over to verse 6, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. The third point here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 is that Christ is blessed with life and peace. You know, a lot of people are looking for a fresh start in 2022. Every time you go into a new year, people are looking for a new fresh start, new way of life. Seems like when the calendar rolls around, but if you're not careful, if you don't have a plan of action, you'll fall back into the same old traps, the same old lust or the same old sin or whatever it is will draw you back in. So here we find in verse 6, Romans chapter 8, he said, "For to be carnally minded is death." Carnally minded is death. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You have a choice today. We all have a choice. You can be carnally minded or you can be spiritual minded. Depends on which one you're going to feed the most and take care of the most as to what's going to be the outcome of your life. If you think about and act upon a lot of things that are carnal all the time, it's going to lead you into sin. But you ought to think upon spiritual things. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." So we find the Christian, really, we are to live our lives in, as an abundant life in Christ. I love this verse. Go over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10 in your Bible. The Christian, don't settle for second best. Don't settle for being a Christian that is just halfway committed to Christ. Or, "God, I'm going to serve You, but in this little corner of my heart or my life, I know I still got this sin I deal with." No, we need to get rid of all that and make sure that it's pure before the Lord. And He can give peace because He wants us to live an abundant life. Notice this now, John 10 and verse 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You have a choice. You can have an abundant life. That abundant life is found by living our lives, not in sin, but in Christ, under the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ. And so when you look at it, the Holy Spirit of God. And so we find here we need to live with a purpose and live knowing that we have that hope in Christ and live knowing that we have confidence and joy. Satan would love nothing better than to come along to steal your confidence, to steal your joy, to discourage you in the journey along the way. "Oh, this is just too hard. I just don't know if I can get through this or how am I going to handle this?" Satan would love to come along and do that, but we need to live our life with purpose and with hope and knowing that we can have confidence and joy in Christ. And the Christian should have peace with God. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Peace, an unshakable peace that comes in knowing Christ. You should be able to live. You know, much of the world that we see around us is not living in peace. And the only way you're going to realize, you know, and there never will be peace. They seek for peace all the time, and they never will find it truly until you find the Prince of Peace, Christ. You want peace? It comes internally through the Lord Jesus Christ and having the peace that passeth all understanding. This world's always going to be a world of turmoil. The sin and the lust of the world is always going to be there to try to pull and attract and suck you in. But live a determined life in God and realizing that you have a purpose to live. And so you find here that we need to have this peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want peace? Real peace? Lasting peace? Eternal peace? That comes only through Jesus Christ. And so we find here peace with God, Romans 5, 1, and because he has the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the peace of God that rules in our hearts. It should rule in our hearts. Go over to Colossians. Let me show you this verse over in Colossians 3. Love this verse in Colossians 3, and you get down to, I think it's verse 15. Colossians 3, 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, everything can be in turmoil around you and in your outside world, but inside, in your heart, you can have this peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, he simply says, to the which also you are called into one body, and be thankful. So as much as the difficulty is around us, and the struggle around it internally, you and I can have true, genuine, heartfelt peace that absolutely settles our souls. So point number three is that the Lord Jesus Christ blessed the believer, blessed the Christian with a life of peace. And this abundant life can be yours. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Let me give you point number four. The Christian is known as a child of God, and God's children... as a result of that, has many privileges. Just because when you get saved, when you come to Christ, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have inheritances. You have privileges that the unbelieving world does not have. And so when you think about it here, look at it, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when you get saved, you become a son of God. For you have not received... here it is, the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Really think about that. We've been adopted into the family of God. And the Spirit here, the Holy Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you have assurance of salvation? The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, bears witness with your spirit and can give you that assurance that you're saved and that you can know that you're saved. And if we're children, in verse 17, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So God never said that this journey that we're on sometimes is going to be without suffering, it's going to be without pain, it's going to have struggles, it's going to have, you know, as I look here even on the size of the crowd today, this time, next year, 1 year from now, somebody in this room will not be with us. I don't know who that will be. It might be me. It might be you. The key is how you live your life and knowing that there's a good reason to be saved. I don't know about you, but last week when we honored and recognized the 11 people in our congregation that have gone on to heaven, the more we see there, the more we get into heaven, the more jealous we become that this may be the year. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. But if not, if he does not come this year, are you ready? What if it's your picture, your name on the screen next year, the first Sunday in January of 2023? Have you prepared yourself? Are you ready? Do you realize that the Christian is a child of God? And when we look at it, God's children have many privileges. We have privileges that come through the power of prayer. And let me show you this. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. And when you think of the power of prayer, this year brings many opportunities. We don't know what the year is going to unfold. We don't know how things are going to play out. We know this, God's in control. Whatever it is, it's going to be a great year because he's on the throne and we're going to follow him. So we find 1 John chapter 5. And you get down to, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. What is God's will for your life? God's will for your life, number one, is that you be saved and that you know Him. And if you'll walk in fellowship with Him, He'll communicate and show you His will day by day. And through that, we have the privilege and the power and the opportunity of prayer and talking to our Heavenly Father. My friend, I don't know if you where your prayer life is at, but maybe one of your goals, your objectives in 2022 is to make prayer an opportunity that you take advantage of in 2022. Find a solitary place to get alone, wherever it's at your home, outside, somewhere, or find a place. You can come use the church building if you want, but make it a matter of prayer. It's a privilege that you and I have as a child of God. And then not only that, 1 John chapter 3, while you're right there, and in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." So we find that what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So we have that honor that has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's children become heirs of God. And Peter describes that in 1 Peter chapter 3, and that as an inheritance. Do you realize you have an inheritance? And then one day on this earth, God's children one day will leave this earth. Let me show you this. Go over to Hebrews. Here's a promise of a verse that you ought to highlight in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Appointed. That has been appointed to each one of us unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, the only exception to that rule, let me show you that, is found in 1 Thessalonians 4. So just keep in mind that you and I have, we don't know when, an appointment with death. You say, well, how morbid is that? How horrible is that? Nobody wants to start out a new year thinking about that. We have an appointment with death. We don't know when that's going to be. Could be this week. Could be 50 years from now. We don't know. But the Lord's coming back. And so look here in 1 Thessalonians 4. And I shared this, I think, earlier in Sunday school. It talks about in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That means them which have died, those which have gone before, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For," here it is now, verse 14, "if we believe," 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep," which means have died, "in Jesus will God bring with Him. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Here it is now, verse 16. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we know this. We may not all die. I've shared with the Sunday school art in this. You know, you think about, what if the rapture comes in 2022? This could be the year. Matter of fact, we should be praying. This could be the year. We should anticipate, pray for, look forward to, expect the Lord's return. And right now, you know, if the Lord was to come back, I think there might be even some be saying, hold on just a minute, let me take care of that. No, you won't have time for that then. Let me take care of this, or let me handle that. No, we need to live every day as though today could be the last day, and the Lord's coming back. He promised that, and you very much could be alive at the return of the Lord. You know what I've often thought of? Who would be at First Baptist Church the first Sunday after the rapture? I hope none of you. I hope they're all gone. They're all going up in the rapture, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. But wouldn't it be a horrible thing to come in that first Sunday after the rapture? If you're not saved, you walk in, there might be five people sitting here. Yeah, how would you get in the building? The rapture. We do know this, death is coming to all. So four key thoughts out of Romans 8 for you today. Number one is, the Christian, you and I, have escaped condemnation. We're no longer condemned under condemnation. Secondly, we've been freed from the law of sin. You don't have to serve sin this year. You've been freed from that. You've been forgiven of that. Let go of whatever it is. Whatever baggage you're hanging on to, cut it loose. Whatever you need to ask God forgiveness for, ask Him forgiveness for and let it go. Today is a fresh start, a new year, a fresh opportunity to serve the Lord, and you and I have been freed from the law of sin. Thirdly, then, we know as Christians that we can live a life of peace and joy and happiness. Make this to be the year that you walk with your Savior closer than you ever have. And then fourthly is to realize that the Christian, you are a child of God, and you have privileges that the unbelieving world does not have, and that comes through your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. With every head bowed, Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Romans chapter 8 that makes abundantly clear the importance of why we are to be saved. And God, today I don't know if everybody here is saved or not. If there's one here that's not yet saved, God, that they would come forward and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart so they too can be freed from the condemnation of sin that lies over their life. And so God, every person, every believer, everybody that's ever been saved realizes here in Romans 8 that we've been freed from that condemnation, that realizes here that the Christian has been freed from the law of sin. God, that in 2022, we don't have to serve sin. Whatever it is that's binding us, or whatever lust is being presented, or whatever challenge is being there, God, we can turn and run from that. We don't have to turn lust into sin. So God, today, we just commit all to you today, asking for the Holy Spirit of God to convict of sin and draw people to Jesus Christ and help them to understand their need for the Savior. And Father, then for the saved, to realize that they can live a life of abundance in Christ if they'll just love you and walk with you and fellowship with you and pray and have that relationship with you that is better than any other relationship in this world. God, we thank you for Romans 8, helping us to understand some good reasons why we need to be saved and why we need to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together today, my friend. If you're here and you're not yet saved, we'd love to take a Bible and help you and show you how you can come to Christ and know Christ today, and that you just don't know. You don't know when that last opportunity is going to happen. It can be at any age, at any time, at any place in life. Are you ready? If you took your last breath, would you wake up in heaven? Would you know that your last breath here would be your first breath? If not, let us pray with you and let us help you, show you the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're looking for a church home and you want to consider making First Baptist your place to serve the Lord, we'd love to have you. And requirements for membership here at First Baptist, you must be saved and follow the Lord in believer's baptism and come and join arms with us and serve the Lord while we have time to serve Him. Time is running out. Whatever we're going to do, do it and do it quickly as they lead us in an invitation today. If I can pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. You want to come pray on your own? You're welcome to come during this invitation time. Is that true? Have you decided this year? Have you decided to follow Him? Stay focused. Serve Him faithfully.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Before they sing that next verse, you know, think about that. It talks about no turning back, no giving up, no throwing in the towel. Make a determination no matter what happens. You will not quit. You'll remain faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God. And because sometimes, you know what? The struggle gets hard and the fight gets long and discouragements might come along the way and the opportunity of sin presents itself. Just remember, you will not quit. With the world behind us, the cross before me, the world behind me, serve Him faithfully. One more verse. If we can pray with you, we'd love to pray with you today.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. Turning back, no turning.
All God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment. Just a couple of announcements that we want to share with you. And that we would ask you just to read the bulletin and kind of follow along with that. I think the mitten tree that they've been collecting mittens for Detroit, I think today's the last day, I believe, if I read that right. I think you want to get those done. I think so. If you have an opportunity, you want to get those in. They'll be getting those down to Detroit. Also, the teenagers will be going to Winter Jam Sunday, January 30th, here at the end of the month. And so if you have any questions on that, see Pastor Adam and Haley about that. We've already shared with you. I'm so excited. Devin and Angie, I'm so grateful for you too, for your family, for your leadership, and for Faith Bible Institute. And they're going to be in the book of Genesis, right? So a great way. You got a new start, new year, new opportunity, and what a great place. Get in, find a place. Go to Faith Bible Institute. Go to Sunday school. Get in a Wednesday night Bible study. Bread Breakers meets on Thursday morning. On Tuesday morning. AM Connection meets on Thursday morning. The ladies' Bible study. Where's Joyce? Is she not in? She was in here. And she may be out there. But anyway, ladies' Bible study, if I understand, do I have the date? Starting this Tuesday, correct, ladies? Yeah, this Tuesday, ladies' Bible study, and here at the church. So Joyce Murch will be heading that up, and praise the Lord. You pray for her and the ladies, they get started. I think they usually get here about 9:15 or so, 9:15. And so join the ladies' Bible study and get engaged in that. Find a place to serve. There's plenty of opportunities along the way, but be faithful to Him. And it's a privilege and a joy to be able to be a Christian. What does this year hold in store for us? I have no idea. But by faith, we're going to walk with the Lord, follow Him, trust Him. Politically, when you look at it in the world, don't get caught up in too much of this. The world's a mess. And it's going to continue to get messy, and it's going to get worse and worse the farther we go along the way. Don't keep your eyes on the world and the political system. Yes, we all need to be engaged. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to be a part of it and pray for all that. But there never will be peace. There never will be everything until the Prince of Peace comes, and then we have something to rejoice about. Let's stand together. Good to see you in church today. Services tonight, Awana tonight at 5 o'clock, and the evening service tonight at 6. And then I think right as we close the service today, some of the Golden Agers, a handful of them, are meeting. So if you're in that group, they'll be meeting over in the gym and having a meal. I think they're finishing planning their year, the rest of their year out for their Golden Ager activities. And by the way, we'd encourage all of you, whoever's in that age group, to get engaged with the Golden Agers and be a part of that. I heard different ages. I don't know where Bob's saying. Bob, what's the official age? Okay, so if you're 60 or above, but if you walk in the door and you're 50 or above, they'll take you anyway. So if you're 60 or above and a Golden Ager, believe me, they have a lot of fun. They have activities laid out. Get engaged. Find somewhere that you can get involved in a group and have fun. They'll be finished and planning out the year 2022. Let's pray. Good to see you in church. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you today for our praise team. Thank you for the workers and the sound booth and all the people that make it work week in and week out here at First Baptist. And God, we love you today. This congregation loves you today. God, I thank you for their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the believers that are here that have said yes to Jesus Christ and desire to follow you and walk with you. God, I pray you put a hedge of protection about them. Keep them safe and keep them faithful to you. And so, God, even so, this may be the year. Even so, come quickly. Lord Jesus is our prayer. In His name we pray. Amen. Good to see you. Have a great day.